come in under budget. I think here in the next agenda item, Guy will present some opportunities to encumber some of the grounds budget possibly. There's about, you can see there's about an $8,000 available budget in the signs and walls accounts and about $21,000 in the grounds budget. That's the maintenance fund, and it started the year with about $223,000. And we are budgeted to appropriate $30,000 from the fund this year. And then in the capital fund, we started the year with about $111,000. And as has been previously discussed in these quarterly meetings, those monies are, you know, sort of, they're definitely for capital. And I think y'all had discussed that to be preserved for, you know, the rainy day. So I don't know if you have any questions about the expense budget, but I'm here to try to answer them if you do.
I have one question.
Sure.
Kelly, it is, when I was looking at the streetlight account, just for the heck of it, it looked like that we may run out of funds in that account by October or the end of September.
Let's see, streetlight.
Because we're year-to-date $115,000 spent with a budget of $232,000.
Well, I'd have to do the math, but
you know, running about 20 or so, you know, 20 a month. Just looks very tight.
Okay. We can move money from any of the other accounts if it comes in a little high. But I think, you know, we've got the margin to cover that.
And I think we talked about that when we were approving the budget in October or September or sometime.
Yeah.
We had talked about it being a little
yeah.
light and would be moves funds back and forth
yeah.
from each other.
Yeah.
And I see we did our annual maintenance there of our mulch.
Of what?
Of the mulch.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's $66,000 encumbered there, and there's a little note that we put that does include a more recent enhancement of vegetative additional plantings, so that's encumbered there. So you have $21,000 available after having considered that larger encumbrance for those additional plantings. It was about $15,000, I think.
Which is probably what our focus is going to be later on today.
But the, you know, the fund's in good shape.
Mm-hmm.
We've just depleting it gradually a little bit each year, but we have had some fairly substantial plantings and enhancements, which this fund has absorbed. Some of the large capital purchases have come from the other fund, but this fund has also, you know, borne a big brunt of it. So, you know, I don't think it's likely that we'd have to continue to tap it that much. It just depends what the desires are.
I see there's an exorbitant amount that was spent in the month of February, $44,195.88.
That's the mulch and 2 months of maintenance.
Okay.
So do you recall what the mulch amount was? When we do the mulch, it's a large outlay, probably somewhere close to 20.
I think it was 25 last year.
Yeah.
20, 22,
it's
25,
no small
somewhere in there.
Effort. It's a high.
How is that mulch installed? Did they blow that in there?
That's not a question for me.
Okay.
That's
Brightview.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have some questions for Brightview.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Hello.
My name is George. I think.
Thank you.
Before. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, George?
Pretty good.
Okay. So I'm seeing some large expenditures here, especially in February. This is what I see when I come down Winter Springs Boulevard in January, February, March. Not a lot of anything. I see a lot of dead plantings, until most recently, and what I see most often is that 3 weeks prior to our meetings, we get all this activity where things are trimmed up and mowed out and, you know, everything's tidied up. But I can tell you that in January, February, March, that boulevard was a mess. There was a lot of dead plantings, a lot of dead grass, a lot of overgrown bushes. And so I would kind of like an explanation for that.
Sure. So, yeah, I understand. Usually during the winter months, things really look, you know, like dead as part of the season. But we really took some action for the moving forward for the next winter, be a little more proactive. We have a game plan to make sure, you know, that things don't overgrow. I know sometimes the changes in temperature kind of breaks our pattern. But basically, the explanation is we're going to be more careful next time, make sure that it goes on a schedule. And it does, we do give some, you know, we do blame a little bit the season that things don't look as prestigious as they should. And that's why we improving what the plantings that we're putting now and just trying to have a game plan so it's more consistent, you know, during the winter season, I would say. Mm-hmm. So we have a plan. You know, we talked to Guy. We're going to try to make sure that moving forward is consistent. Guy's been very proactive with us. So we put some more resources there just to make sure that, you know, we keep everything the way it should be.
Okay, here's the thing with the mulch. Like, we have a lot of trees down the boulevard, and there's a lot of leaf droppings. And I see them not only on the boulevard, but also in the planting areas. And then I noticed the leaves are blown up into the flower beds. Is the mulch installed over top of those leaves, or are the leaves cleaned out prior to the mulch being installed? How does that work for Brightview?
So, to be honest, there are some areas that has a lot of mulch. And I don't think that it's like, you know, the whole boulevard that gets a lot of leaves. It's mostly like around median, I would say, probably 4 or 5, close to the 7-Eleven, where I get a lot of leaves. And I even spot some of the guys that maintain over there, they've been blowing things to the boulevard. And I caught them a couple times, and I said, hey, don't do that.
They're blowing up in the beds because
yes.
I'm seeing like a half a foot of leaves up in those beds. Is the mulch installed on top of that?
So we blow some of these areas, like I said, in a few hot spots where we see a lot of leaves. But I won't say, you know, the whole boulevard, we don't blow it because it doesn't need as much. But mm-hmm. in some hot spots, we do. Although we do that, you know, we get a lot of leaves. Maybe we can kind of coordinate next season to do it, you know, kind of after we have after the leaves fall and we clean a little more so, you know, it doesn't look too much leaves. That's what I'm trying to say. So we're working a schedule and trying to make sure, again, the look is consistent and you don't have to see so many leaves when we blow the mulch.
Okay, I see a lot of new plantings down there, and bravo for that, because in some of those areas that really needed that. There are still some concerns, the grassy areas, the grassies, or whatever, I don't know what those grassy things are, but they're laying on the ground, they're in several different areas, so.
Sure.
I know we've addressed that also at the last meeting, I believe.
Yes, and that enhancement is underway now. So what Tom and I did actually is we drove, and wherever those grasses were failing, it was because of a lack of sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
So they're never going to perform well. So we're removing all those and putting
all
in
right.
arborcolas or society garlic or Hawaiian Thai, some various plants that are going to do much better.
Good.
So long term, they won't look like that. Because
okay,
that grass
good.
Was just, it was inappropriate applied. It wasn't a good plant for where it was.
Okay.
So where they're growing well, if there's sunshine, they're going to stay. Where they're not, it's coming out. So we put a plan together for the entire Winter Springs Boulevard from Tuscaloosa to Oviedo, and that is underway right now. Well, we're pulling all that stuff out. We're doing a major enhancement.
Okay.
So that's the $15,000 that we did, and it's going to make the entire boulevard look really nice. So it's going to be upgraded, and they'll be long-performing plants. They're the kind of things that they look really nice. They don't die off. If they do get a frost, they'll, you know, you cut them back, and they come right back. So they're really good plants. And then, I want to speak a little bit about, you know, what you were saying before. We're going to institute a grading program. I've got a map of all the islands. It's something that I think was in place before. We're just basically going to go through and grade the islands. If it's got grass and plantings and mulch, each one of those areas will get a grade, and we'll always work together with Brightview to make sure that you're getting the best of, you know, what your expectations are.
Okay.
So I've been, like George said, I'm pretty proactive. I'm out there all the time. I'm a big fan of pictures, so I take a lot of pictures and kind of give them a shopping list of the things that do need attention. And I think, you know, maybe some of it got let go because they knew the enhancement was coming up. So, you know, it shouldn't be, but, you know, that might be where some of it came from. But either way, we're headed in the right direction. That's the targeted area right now, are all the medians. And something else we're going to do is kind of your front door right there at Winter Springs Boulevard in Tuscaloosa. We're going to make sure that that's pristine every week. Like, if we go through and, let's say, this week we're focusing on down by Oviedo, we're still going to hit that bed number one. So that whenever anybody pulls up there and stops, they're going to look over and it's going to look beautiful.
And you have plans for additional plantings in that area because it's kind of sparse.
Yeah, we actually did put a bunch of plants in. There's a section in help me with what the, was that?
They're gingers.
Gingers. The gingers are failing. We're going to pull those out and put something in that's a better performer.
Okay.
And Tom and I talked about putting in a couple of different colors that'll give a really nice contrast. So, yeah, there's plans for that we're going to dress it up really nice. Mulch needs to go in, some additional plantings, and that's already in play.
Good. I'm looking forward to it.
Sure.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
What about the fountains? I noticed that there's no plantings along the upper wall that's been blank for months.
Yes.
And it looks like some flowers may have been put in front of where the writing is just recently,
mm-hmm.
But it just looks kind of bare.
So there again, that was something that's already kind of underway. I met with George, said I want to look at possibly reducing some of the beds where down at ground level, there's really big beds, and it's just an area that's going to require mulch and a lot of labor to pull weeds, and we're not really getting anything for it.
Right.
So you want to make more grass, less beds there, and then focus our area on the elevated beds. And it looks like over the years, every time we go in and put more mulch, it just builds up and up and up.
Right.
So now none of the wall is visible. You've got all this dirt and mulch up there, and it's really unsightly. So we've got a plan kind of underway, what we want to do in there. We're going to pressure clean, pull out some of the larger trees that are in there so we don't damage the wall, and then a program going forward to enhance that whole area. So that's already underway. We saw it kind of at the same time you did. It's like we've got that beautiful bed up there and there's nothing green. Nothing.
You know, we spent money a year and a half ago or so with Jennifer. She put in Laura Pintum's miniature Laura Pintum's, I believe, and a lot of, and there's jasmine in there, and it's all gone. It's all died. And we looked at the growth, and I want to see if, Ted, if you've got some pictures of those fountains, the way they looked over the years with different landscapers, you know, something in the files. I don't know if you got them or not. And so we can look at the history of this, what it originally looked like in the plans and how it's changed over the years and the creep of this and that. Because it seems to me where we've got some Robolini's growing up and a lot of plants have died under it is because oak trees from behind have grown over. And so everything is shaded now, where originally you can tell 25 years ago there was no oak tree there. And so you've got, on top of that, every year more soil and these large trees, I'm not sure what the name of them are, but they're shaped cone-like, and some are short, some are tall, and the root system is so big that it's starting to push on the walls, and so it gives the whole bed an uneven look where the roots are at the base. And so you look at the wall, and the wall is straight, but the beds come up, go back down again, and it's not supposed to be like that. And so we want to just clear all of that out of there. You step on it, and the ground is very, very soft. Like, you got years of leaves. You know, all that stuff is built up. It's not really soil. So you're planting plants in mulch from years and years and leaves and twigs, and they all died. And so we got to clear that out, test the soil that's under there and see if that's viable anymore, or if it's just soaked, and then have a plan to re-landscape.
And, you know, we can provide a soil test before we do any enhancements over there, just to make sure that we got the right conditions, or
right.
we have to, you know, add new soil or something. So with something that definitely we're going to do it, just to make sure that you guys have peace of mind, and obviously so the plants perform well.
Well, the other thing, when she was talking about the mulch, we've had so many leaves fall. Why would you go in and put all this mulch down when the leaves are still falling?
Yeah,
shouldn't we wait till the leaves quit falling and rake them up and then put the mulch down? I mean, you're just making
double work. That's my thing. When I clean my beds at home, I rake the leaves out and then I install the mulch.
Yeah. Right.
But what I've seen is that the leaves are being blown up into the beds where we've got 6 inches of leaves,
right.
and then obviously, you use some kind of a blower to blow that mulch in, because some of the mulch is up on the plants themselves, hanging off of the plants. And, you know, not necessarily, you know, down where
it was blown in.
It's appropriate and can be used.
So why do you mulch in February? Why don't you mulch in March?
Yeah, kind of, do the cleanup in February.
February, the leaves are still falling down, you know.
Yeah, that's what
after
I, you know,
the timing just doesn't seem right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what I kind of mentioned, if we can schedule, you know, just work for the next, let's say, round, you know, just make sure that we do it in the, after the leaf season, so we can make
yeah.
sure that everything is clean.
Because
no
leaf
problem.
Season is really February, March, because
yes.
we can, Ted and I can have 45 bags of leaves in,
yeah.
in 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
So, because we have
and,
four,
you know,
five oak trees on our property, so.
And we go, you know, by clients. Some clients say, do you know, we don't mind. I mean, we know we're going to have some leaves. We'd rather, you know, live with that, but we want to have the mulch. But it goes by customers. So if you guys want, I mean, we just schedule in a different time and make sure that it's clean of leaves. So for mm-hmm. the next season,
we're on mulch. There's all these leaves in the street that are coming off of the islands. And, you know, even if they were blowing the leaf, they could at least blow them out of the street until. I don't know if you bag up stuff or they shovel it into the truck. Or
yeah, we have like a leaf vacuum with a big trailer that we go and pick it up. Like I said, you know, we've been a couple of times, but I know that there's sometimes you have more leaves than other seasons. I don't know. It's a little different. But like I said, moving forward, we're going to make sure and we coordinate and kind of make sure that the leaves are cleaned up in the right time, so you guys see more, you know, of improvement in that area.
Do you know of any areas or experience with the rubberized mulch, which is like basically they chop up tires and they make mulch and it never disintegrates, it's just there forever. Have you had any experience with that?
To be honest, I used to live 2 years ago in Maryland, up north, and we did use it, but I know it's really expensive.
It is very
I
expensive.
I think it's probably like 3 times
yeah.
more expensive.
Right, but if you put it down and it lasts for 2 years, or 3 years, you know, then because it doesn't disintegrate. It doesn't, it just sits there. It never gets affected by the weather.
So we could
yeah.
put some budgets together and see, and then maybe apply it in a couple of places for a test to see what it looks
yeah,
like.
Yeah, if there's maybe even not out there, but we could find an area
mm-hmm.
back here or somewhere just to lay some rubber mulch and
sure.
in 6 months and 12 months to look at it, because, you know, I did that in my backyard. And I just changed everything to rubber mulch, and you know, I'm testing it myself actually to see how long it lasts. But it's like a tire; it doesn't go anywhere. You put a tire in your yard, it'll stay there till you take it away.
So you know, just to be safe, let me check with you know my horticulture is just to make sure that it's a safe thing to do over there.
Exactly.
And you know the cost benefit basically of doing that, so we can put something together so you guys can compare next time and
that would
see
be good.
If it's something feasible and you know if it's a good thing, maybe we can go ahead and
sure.
And do it.
And there's other options too, where the pine bark is a commodity that's natural. We tried shredded hardwood out on 434,
mm-hmm.
and it's really pretty because it's dark and it sets off the surrounding landscaping really nice. So I mentioned that to Tom too, that we might look at some different options, because the pine bark is probably up here. It's like the premium,
mm-hmm.
and you pay a lot for it, but it's light, it floats away, it blows away, where the shredded hardwood it locks together, and it kind of, it goes in and stays. I don't know if you've noticed on 434, it was our first try, and we saved some money, and we could probably see some substantial savings with some different options there, too.
That would be interesting.
Not all the way to the rubber, but, you know, maybe the shredded hardwood or something. But we can certainly exercise some options so we don't get that big hit every year, because I think we're doing that semi-annually. We mulch twice a year, so maybe we can do something where we can save some money and still get the look you're looking for. So, yeah, there's certainly some options. We've been experimenting here in the city with some different ideas, because we found the pine bark to be very expensive.
Yeah, and at $25,000, if we could eliminate one, you know, pay another $10,000 for the mulch, but save $15,000 by doing it only once a year.
Right, yep.
Yeah, definitely, we can look in some motions, no problem.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. And just so you guys know, Tom and I, we've been communicating often via email, and we've had a couple of field visits where we kind of walk through. It's an eye-opener, some things that we saw on our first field trip we didn't see, we found today. So we found some areas that are, we believe are going to get a lot of mileage if we take some action with them, cleaning up, just overall lifting the trees, pulling out some debris, cutting back on vines, cleaning up around the fountains. There's a lot of things that we can do. So there's some plans that we're putting together that hopefully before the next meeting, we'll get them together and out to you guys so you can have some input and see what you think about doing some of those improvements as well.
If I remember correctly, the last meeting, we did talk about some improvements that y'all were going to do when we had our meeting in January, I guess, is when we met. And then, you know, I was all excited after that meeting. And I went back home and I said, oh, wow, you know, new year, we're going to really start this off great. I'll tell you, I think it looks like crap. I mean, I think the Oviedo end, where Island 23 looks like everything in that thing is dead, to be honest with you. I drove by. I was so excited when I left here. I drove by on Tuscola Road. I don't normally go out that way. And those cypress trees were laying down this way for, I think, almost until...
Months.
I mean, we met in January. I figured you guys wouldn't be out there the next day, but I did figure within 30 days the cypress tree would be at least standing up or repotted. The darn thing was still laying down there until, gosh, it has to be early March.
I remember actually specifically mentioning those trees that were down and stuff were there. Four of them were just.
It was like, it was terrible months.
What I'm saying. What I was saying is that I'm not seeing a lot of movement until we get close to these meetings. Then I'm seeing a lot of movement. So, you know, I'm wondering why we have such a high cost on these February really blows my mind at $44,000.
Or just the maintenance in general, the money that we're paying per month and what we're getting for the services. Right. I don't see the services matching what we're paying, to be honest with you. The job just doesn't look like we come here and we talk about wanting a better, you know, trees, limbs are dead, you know, trees are laying on their side. Somebody mentioned pressure washing. We did a little test zone, but we didn't finish the pressure washing, but we were going to get back to that. I figured January, February, March, somewhere.
But it's not done yet.
But it's still not done, right. The islands and the, you know, the planting by the fountains. I thought we'd see more action done so we can come back here in April and say, hey, things are looking great, but we'd also like to see improvements here. What I feel like we're doing is we're going back, you know, 3 months, and you guys are saying, hey, we're going to show you some action here. We got a plan in place, yada, yada, this. But I don't see the plan being executed. You know, I'm not seeing it. Not for the money we're paying. I'm just not seeing it, you know.
Okay.
It's a big branch limb laying in Island 23 for about 4 weeks. You must mow that thing once a week.
Yeah, in fact, you might have an island that you work on, but to get to that island, you might pass a big log falling from a tree. Mm-hmm. You know, well, you just can't go work on that one island and not lift that log up until you get to it in a couple of weeks. You should stop and pick up any big branches that have fallen, you know, down. You just stop and throw them in a truck.
And just tidy up on your way.
Something that's majorly out of, you know, until you get back with your trimmers and mowers and stuff. But if you have to stop and There's a big branch hanging down with a bunch of moss. Just grab it and pull it off. You know, it's dead.
Like I said, personally, you know, I'm going to be more involved in this project. Like I said, we're adding more resources, and, you know, I definitely want to make sure that moving forward, like I said, all these concerns with the leaves and with the maintenance, you know, just, again, we put more resources. I think you're going to start seeing more results. I know we just started the spring season. I would say we're going to be more active. So I understand your concerns, and definitely, you know, we're moving and we are being proactive, trying to improve a lot of things that we've seen. I think it's a working process, but I'm very optimistic. And personally, I've been more proactive in the last couple of weeks, and I see a lot of improvements. You know, I spoke with my boss, with Guy, and I definitely going to be really more active around here. And I'm very positive. I did a few moves, so I think you'll see an improvement in the next couple of weeks for sure.
You know, let's do that grading program. So next time when we do meet, I hope to hear that you've seen an improvement.
I hope so.
I
mean, just the cypress trees alone was just not I wasn't feeling good about it as I drove by. I was almost ready to pull my car over and pick them up myself.
the fence got replaced. The irrigation is in place. It's been confirmed. It's all the heads are in and operational, so we've got that. So.
But we kind of thought the irrigation was in place when the cypress trees went in play, so, because we paid for that,
but,
so.
Sure, but just to confirm, because it was a, a point last time, so I just did want to let you know that we confirm. There's some old stuff in there from years past. We're going to go ahead and pull all that out, so there's no.
There's actually a big brass sprinkler head on a pipe with a valve that was part of the orange grove circulation, still sitting there, sticking up about 2 feet. That's, I mean, we walked through and. This is the second time we walked the whole length, and we do have new heads there for the plants.
So they're not just soaker hoses.
Well, actually, a lot of hoses were cut, and we thought they were cut, but they aren't even our hoses. They're hoses from times past. You know, you don't know. So the guy's getting whatever crude out there to pull up all this old stuff that's not ours. There's cable from the cable company out there. That you don't know what that is, but when you pull it up, there's nothing on one end of it. So, you know, take it all out. And if it's not ours, it's coming up, you know. Mm-hmm. And so there's no confusion, because I didn't know what was ours and what wasn't ours, saying, well, no wonder the plant's dying, it's cut. But it's not ours that's cut, it's just an old piece. So, these things aren't, you don't see them, but they are work that has to get done before the final clearance, you know.
Guy, how often are the sprinklers checked? I mean, when you go, do you go out there periodically, once a month, every other month? Do they have a manual on-off switch on those?
Yes. And Brightview does an annual audit in the spring. They go through and they check every single head, zone, timer, everything, so that we do repairs before we get into the growing season.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's only the errant head that might get snapped off or something here and there. And then I tell how often you check them after that.
So after that, we do monthly inspections in the Winter Springs Boulevard. So, you know, we send.
So you turn them on and you watch how they water and make sure they're not watering the street. Mm-hmm. And
yes. Yeah. And like I said, you know, you have a lot of big trees. Like, you know, we go through inspections. Sometimes I go with the guys. And after a couple of weeks, you see something broken. It's just, I guess, the big trees and just. It's just part of irrigation, I guess, in Florida. But we do monthly inspections, just to let you know. And, you know, we send a report and a proposal to fix some heads or maybe a broken line or some decoder. So we are very proactive every month in that. That's one of our priorities as, you know, Brightview as a branch, Winter Springs Boulevard. So we are very proactive in that area.
Okay.
Is that what the blue flags are next to, like, a sprinkler head or something like that?
I'm sorry.
Is that what the little flag is next to a sprinkler head?
Yes. So
Island 23's had one there for a month.
Yeah. I know. Sometimes they don't.
I'm just saying.
They don't move it. I know. I told my guys. Again, that's the little details. That's what I'm being more proactive with my guys. They do a great job, but I know these little things, sometimes they don't pull or those flags. But they do fix it right away. Guy usually, you know, he approves right away whatever proposal is for, you know, fixing stuff that's broken, and we take care of that, like, as a priority. We just need to remove the flags, I guess, faster.
How many guys are assigned to the boulevard? I'm curious.
So in the boulevard, we're working like 2 to 2.5 days, and we have, you know, we always say it's a performance-based contract. Usually we have 4 or 5 guys over there in the 2 days. Sometimes we add more resources when we have to detail. I can put 2 crews together, you know, 8 people. But usually between 4 and 5 people you have all the time, you know, for 2 days, 2.5 days.
And how long does it take to get from one end of the boulevard to the other before you start back again?
So, you know, we start the mowing season, so we do that every week from now on, moving forward. And then the maintenance, we have like sections. So let's say we, this week, for instance, let's say, I mean, we were doing some other stuff, we were helping, but usually we go like 2, 3, or sometimes we go up to, we divide in 3 sections, let's say. So the idea is to mow and go, you know, we divide the 23 islands in 3 sections. So we go the first section. Next week, we kind of go the second, and then the third week, we finish the whole thing. So that would mean that every month, we want to have everything trimmed. And obviously, we go back again to where we started. So mow every week and divide in 3 sections so we can do that. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, except as you work on one section, if you see something major, mm-hmm. a big branch or just a branch laying on top of a mm-hmm. Area of plants, just to stop them, pull that off.
I agree. Yeah. I will have tomorrow my guys to just go check and make sure that
everything's... Do a run and anything, you know, with a pickup or something in the back and just stop and take stuff that's big debris, a board, you know, somebody threw beer cans out, things like that. Just get it out of there.
No, definitely, yes.
I was talking with Guy, and Guy is really on the ball. He seems
Thank you,
to be,
Guy.
He's... yeah, and so... what he's going to do is, you know, we have a warranty that I did not know about with Brightview, that if a plant dies, as long as they're the contractor, they will replace it, okay? But we've gone through different people. Now we have Guy. But we don't know what was ours planted before or what they planted. There's no record, basically. So what Guy's going to do is he's going to have a page about this size of each island, and he's going to code what plants are there. Like there'll be a list, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You have arbicolas and whatever plants here. You have a number there, and as plants get planted on that particular one, you write number 7 here and the date. Okay, and so it would serve 2 purposes. And they don't do well on any of them. Well, we're looking at it and we're going, okay, these don't do well. We're never going to plant them again. We know they don't do well. There's several plants that they keep coming back, being planted without knowing that they all died last time it was in. So right there we'll have a chart that plants have continually died, don't replant.
I think they were going to promise us a list of that this meeting, a list of all of the recommended plants that we can substitute some of the dead with, that would be better. Didn't we talk about that at the last meeting?
Yeah, well, this will actually be an actual history of what doesn't grow on our particular property. You know, we know arbicolas grow anywhere, and the Thai plants grow anywhere. But some of these more exotic ones that get woody, you know, or just don't thrive. And so, and he's going to spend a lot of time doing that. And I'm going to come out on occasion, and we're going to go through the, because there's a lot of old records there, and we're going to go through the old records and see what we can salvage and apply to what we have today.
And also, we've been very proactive. Like, if you need pictures or some of our experts just to come and, again, do soil tests or something like that, that's something that we always offer. And like I say, I know Guy's been very proactive in whatever his resources he needs. We've been trying to provide him, you know, as part of our service, our good customer service. So
I'll forward to the board. We do have a list of the preferred plants, if you will, to plant. So we've got that list, and I've got the before and after of all the medians with what grass was there before and what plants going in, so you can see, so you can drive down and you can actually flip the page and see what it was, because it's funny, because once it's gone, you're not going to know what wasn't there before, but, so you'll be able to gauge the improvements. So I've got a historical record of what it was before and what it is going forward, and we do have the plants, and we're not, like Tom said, if it's a non-performer, we're just not going to put it in. We're going to tag it as no, it's a no-go for the future. So we've already identified the plants that are good, that seem to grow well along there. There's some places that are shade 365 days a year, but there are plants that'll grow in there. So we're trying to just be a little bit better at the way we approach things, and not just plant for the sake of planting, but plant the right plants. So that process is, it's ongoing, because we're identifying new areas all the time. So hopefully it'll get better.
Okay, and I've also seen some markers on some of the trees, mostly the pine trees.
Yeah.
Those are coming out. Who pulls those pine trees? Is that Brightview, or is that the city? Who does that?
A contractor came in. There's a pine beetle infestation.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Those. So there were 12 that were dead in the medians, and like across from the country club, there's a stand of pines, and I marked 27 in there.
Wow.
And every time a rainstorm came, they were falling down. So I didn't want to wait until one came down on Winter Springs Boulevard. So we got a bunch of bids, and we actually got a really good number to take down those 12 trees. It was $2,400 or something.
Wow.
But a really good price. They came in and took them all down and did it with their MOT. They were very safe, and you know, they did a great job. So I'm only going to do the ones that are dead. They're all going to die eventually if the pine beetles don't go away. But I just took down the dead ones now, so all those
just
are
keep working on them.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep,
yeah. As they come up, I mean, if they survive, we'll let them be. But they were unsightly. They were without needles, and they were all pretty big trees too. They were like that big around and bigger. So yeah, but we got all those out of there before they became an issue.
Okay, good.
Sure.
Good. You have anything else?
Pressure washing. Do you know when you're going to start pressure washing?
We did do the sidewalks from the city limits
sign.
Coming down on Tuscaloosa, and we looked at it this morning. We're going to do it on the North Fountain over there as well. And then what I can do, and I apologize, we did talk about that last time, and I forgot. I'll own that one. I forgot. So, and that's the head of the islands where they're brick pavers to do something with
all
that.
Those,
so,
all of those.
Yeah, I assure you, I'll get on that. I completely forgot about that.
And when they pressure wash, do they pressure wash, like if you come in the Oviedo Inn, there's a little Tuscaloosa brick, they pressure wash, will they pressure wash that brick around the flag there too?
Clean all that out.
And Vista, do they do the Vista Avila end as well?
Yeah, we've got the entrances at Tuscaloosa, Vista Avila.
Right,
yeah,
right.
There's some of the monuments. And yes, yeah, all those as well. So I'll have that on my list of things to do.
I think somebody's name's still written in.
Oh, okay.
Okay, well, thank you.
Well, yeah, thank you very much.
Pleasure.
A lot to see for the next meeting.
Would you have any public input now?
My name is Loretta Ames. I don't know what. Do I have to give my name and address? And all?
Just like
I
the city commission.
150 3rd Street, which is not in Tuscaloosa. But I have a couple of friends there, and one of them asked me just this last week why they cut all the trees down at the ground just where Tuscaloosa Oaks starts.
Tuscaloosa.
I think that's it. Tuscaloosa Oaks. That's just past the 7-Eleven.
Okay.
It's my understanding they cut a whole mess of trees down.
She wanted to know why. And how long ago was that?
Apparently just recently.
That's probably the pine trees.
The pine trees.
Talking about.
No, these had flowers. They were like the crepe myrtles. They had a whole slew of them and just cut them all down, and she was trying to figure out why.
Are they in the median or on the sides of the road?
They're on the sides of the road.
Sides of the road. On the same side of 7-Eleven?
Yeah.
Okay, ours, our, we're only responsible for the median. The city is responsible for...
Oh, so I should go to the city to ask?
Or if, well, yeah, you just have to come here on another night. But also, the, like, there's individual...
HOAs?
HOAs that are in there with their own fences and things like that, they take care of that property themselves, too, in front of their HOAs. And
all right, so you guys only do the median from one end to the other.
Winter Springs Boulevard, correct.
Okay.
Right, yeah, because you'll see a whole variety of different landscapings and people taking care of their properties different than the median. If we were doing it all, it would all kind of be matched the same, but it's not because it's willy-nilly on the sides.
Oh, see, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I figured I had to come. Because yeah, I'm interested, I'm a, used to be a gardener. Not professionally, but in my own, and I've planted 5 trees in my yard since I started here, and they're all beautiful and that kind of thing, and I'm, you know, this is something I've always been interested in, so I figured I'd show my up here to find out what was going on. That's all. So you don't mind if I continue to come, do you?
No, we'd love to have you.
Okay. Just so I'm glad you're happy I'm coming.
Welcome.
You answered my question. Tell her, go to your
HOA
about it.
Uh-huh. The number one. Mr. McCann.
Hello, folks. Kevin McCann, president of the Tuscaloosa Homeowners Association, 1109 Pheasant Circle in Winter Springs. First, I just wanted to thank Tom. For taking so much time and walking the fountains with me on March 18th, cruising down up and down Winter Springs Boulevard and spending a lot of time with me. I think it was pretty effective. I know that we've been through a lot of changes from, you know, Stephanie to Jennifer to now Guy, new city managers, you know, the director of development leaving, lots of different things going on. I have full faith in Guy. I think he's you know, all of the work that he's done with the pavilion and the improvements in Troutwood Park and in Tuscaloosa has been really fantastic. But, and I think Lane Johnson made it pretty clear for the record, however, and I would agree, what Tom and I found was the worst appearance of our fountains in Winter Springs Boulevard that I'd ever seen in 16 years. And just so that we can go on record as saying it was, in fact, that bad. And I think you're right. But on the 18th, I did receive an email from Guy. And from that day, I mean, I believe it was the very next day, I started seeing dramatic improvements. Still have some work to do. And you guys have addressed all those things. But again, just want to kind of go on the record and say thank you. And I have full faith in, you know, we had problems before Brightview. Brightview has, up until this winter, done a good job, I think. I mean, it was a vast improvement over what we had, but again, I think maybe we need to watch out for next December, January, February, because, boy, March 18th, it was pretty rough. Let's see. Yeah, you guys really touched everything else that I had, from Power Spring, the end caps and the monuments and things like that. It might just bring up the only other thing that I really had was lights. A lot of those lights, if you remember, Tom, lights throughout the fountains and also on Vista Willa and the other monuments throughout the community, the lights have been, what's going on, it would appear, one of the issues is like lawn, cutting the lawn at the fountains and they're just driving right over top of the lights. Yeah, I mean, well, those LED lights, I'm sure, are expensive, and you guys are going to have to pay for those out of your budget, but the lawnmower is just going straight over top of them and Guy, cutting them in half.
Guy can tell you about that.
Okay. Yeah, just making a note, just kind of something to think about, the lighting. We do have a lot of lights throughout, all over, from all the different monuments and things like that. But sincerely, since March 18th, it's really come back, in my personal opinion. It's been a lot better. It was pretty horrendous, but it's really come back.
Those lights that were damaged with a lawnmower, the guy talked to Brightview, and Brightview replaced the lights, and the city installed them.
Oh, great.
And so you know, because there's no saying exactly who did it, so, but the...
Whoever's cutting the grass.
They've been replaced.
Great.
I saw them today.
Good.
Well, thanks. Thanks, guys. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Any more public input? Okay, then meeting adjourned.
Thank you.
Thanks.